Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. I've got an interview for you with a healthy American, actually a fellow Californian, actually a neighbor of Bobby Kennedy's. And he has been in contact with RFK Jr. over a number of issues, specifically over the RICO Act. Let me know if you are familiar with this racketeering law that came out in 1970. And my friend, Carrie O'Neill, has been trying to get Bobby's attention to bring this racketeering case to court against the big pharmaceutical companies for all of the cooties related hoopla. I'll just put it that way. So I titled this video, Bobby Step Up to the Plate, because my friend Carrie agrees with me that we are not going after anyone. We are going after the truth. And he actually is a Kennedy supporter. So I thought it would be interesting for those of you that are always questioning me as to why I am questioning Kennedy. I thought you would like to hear another point of view. So I'm going to bring that to you in just a moment. Let me know again, if you're familiar with these racketeering cases, and if you are familiar with the many millions of dollars that have gone from our government to this big pharmaceutical company. When I say our government, I'm talking about your tax dollars. And speaking of dollars, I want to bring to you a message from the sponsor of today's show, which is about gold. So let's hop on over to noblegoldinvestments.com. And of course, we are in a world of economic uncertainty. So safeguarding your retirement savings is more important than ever. Gold is a trusted source of value, providing stability for centuries through countless market cycles. With a gold IRA, from Noble Gold Investments, you can protect your financial future with the enduring power of precious metals. Do not let the election volatility erode your hard-earned nest egg. You can vote, in a manner of speaking, for the timeless safety of gold and silver in 2024. For my Trump fans, you can choose to get 10, yes, 10 of these 1 ounce silver Trump coins. And if you don't prefer to get the Trump coins, you can opt for this bar. It is a 10 ounce bar of solid silver, and it's the American flag bar. You'll get either one of these with your qualifying account. So give them a call. It is 877-646-5347. You'll speak to an expert in the United States. I know the CEO of this company. It's a family-owned company. So find out how Noble Gold Investments can be your partner in financial peace of mind in 2024. I'll have a link for you in the description box below, along with the disclaimer. There's always a risk of investment. There's no guarantee of any kind, but get your questions answered by the experts at noblegoldinvestments.com. Friends, talking about money and talking about fraud and deception, you'll hear those words a few times in my interview with Healthy American and freedom fighter Carrie O'Neill. He is a fellow Californian. He actually knows Bobby Kennedy. Apparently, they run into each other on the beach there in Malibu. So I thought that it would be very interesting for you to hear from Carrie in terms of what he's been doing. Now, he will get into some great detail in terms of this RICO law and the data and evidence that he's been collecting. He has also worked for a financial institution where he first found out about this kind of fraud going on. So I hope you will enjoy this interview with, he's also the author of a book called COVID-19 Racketeering. Yes, I said it. Hopefully it's just the name. It's the title of a book. I think YouTube should allow that to stay. I did have to edit this interview here or there. So you might hear a few little choppy bits because of some of the truth that we talked about is too hot for this platform to handle. All right, friends, without further ado, let's dive into this interview with Carrie O'Neill, where we talk about getting Bobby Kennedy to step up to the plate. Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. I've got a healthy American here with us, a longtime healthy American. This is Carrie O'Neill. He is a fellow Californian. He's actually from Malibu. He has been exposing government corruption for years, and he's been emailing me with all of these great approaches to actually getting something done about it. Carrie, I'm so glad that we are doing this interview. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I absolutely love your attentiveness to whether or not legislation is going to be upheld. And I think that's one of the key things is that there's no enforcement of the actual like laws that are on the books. So it's a fantastic conversation. I think it ought to be very much appreciated. Of course, both by Donald Trump, who is a good friend of my lifetime family friend, Victor Palmieri, who is a very successful attorney. And Victor Trump talks about him in The Art of the Deal as being one of the most important people in helping him create his businesses and so forth. And so he was an attorney, and it's very important. I wanted to ask you, like, are you aware? Donald Trump obviously is not an attorney, correct? So you might have more legal knowledge than Donald Trump does. But I'm just saying, but Robert Kennedy did go on to become an attorney and quite a successful, and he did win a case, wasn't it for $4 billion or so from Big Pharma? Or?
Well, we're going to dive into this, and I want everybody to pay close attention, because Carrie is going to talk to us about an angle that I think a lot of people have overlooked. And that is going after the public serpents, as I call them. And I'm not throwing Kennedy and Trump in that category at this point, but you know, and I know that there have been so many of these public serpents that are trampling all over our rights. And Carrie said, you know, Peggy, we could actually go after this with the RICO Act. So before we dive in, Carrie, give us just an introduction about what is the RICO Act? What do we need to know about that? Mm-hmm. And then, friends, I want you to stay tuned, because Carrie's actually in touch with RFK Jr. and he's going to share with us an email exchange. So it's a perfect time to dive into this. Tell us first about what is RICO and why is that important for us as freedom fighters?
Right, right. Okay, so basically, RICO is Racketeering Influenced Corrupt Organization Act. And it's specifically designed to prevent government officials from engaging in corrupt activities with corporate and commercial, you know, people. So it specifically addresses government and corporate collusion, you know, where they whipsaw the laws, and of course they can do it with money. And so that's the purpose of RICO, is to hold these people accountable. And Peggy, you are aware of official misprision of felony crimes?
Tell me more about that.
Okay, it carries an automatic prison sentence. Any government official that engages in any racketeering activity and fails, it's called failure to act. If you fail to act on breaking of the law as a government official, it carries an automatic prison sentence. It's called official misprision of felony crimes. So the our representatives in government are required to act when the law is being broken.
And so tell us about, over these last few years, Carrie, you actually wrote a booklet about this.
Yes,
and
I did.
It was your case against the government for all of the violations that they've done on this law. Can you explain to us what racketeering is, since the name of this law is racketeering? Mm-hmm. What does that mean to racketeer? You
okay.
Started to say the government corporate collusion.
Uh-huh. I used to have an advisor in Malibu who was a senior federal official and had every kind of federal standing you can imagine, including his friend Marco Padilla, who was former director of intelligence for the United States State Department, also a senior executive at the IRS, and the president of the Federal Criminal Investigators Association. So he was giving me government intelligence level information with regards to racketeering. And he said the courts go crazy when they hear this, but the actual fact of the matter is they're acting in cahoots. The government officials are acting in cahoots with the corporate officials, and that's called racketeering. They're doing it for the purpose of, I'll show you examples of racketeering, but I don't want to get into the philosophy of RICO. I just want to show some actual examples and facts of the RICO case.
Well, let's dive into this connection with RFK Jr. And, you know, I have people from every political persuasion that are healthy Americans. And I think that's great. I think we need different viewpoints and opinions. The only thing I ask for is for people to actually provide evidence or a basis for their opinion. I think that's how we learn and grow. I certainly have changed some of my viewpoints over the years. So you and I spoke a little bit before we started recording, and we both said, you know, we're not out to get anybody. We are out to get the truth. But, you know, RFK Jr. says that he is out to dismantle the corporate takeover of our government. I think this is something that's been going on for a long, long time. And it makes sense because the government has these laws that prohibit them from doing certain things, such as requiring forced injections into our body. So what did they do? They dangled the money. They sent blood money to these employers to have them do the dirty work. So I think that's like a small example of the government using corporations to do their dirty work. But so this has been going on for a long time. You say that the only law that can apply is the RICO statute, and no attorney will take on this case because of its size and magnitude of outright collusion. So what can be done aside from sharing all the evidence? You wrote a whole booklet describing all of the evidence of this, corporate takeover of our government. So tell me more about that.
Okay. So basically, in a quick nutshell, most people understand that the 08 financial, crisis was a perfect storm of big oil escalating gas prices to such a level where it was, really taxing the economy, and the banks giving away free loans for houses. They just went ballistic in giving away free loans for houses. And so those two things coming to a point in 08 caused a global financial crisis, which was deliberately, and in any event, before that happened, so here's what happened. I was an agent of Freddie Mac, which is the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation. And my job was quality control of brokers' price opinions of properties all over the country. And in that job, I could see how I was being forced by Freddie Mac to falsely inflate the value of these properties all over the country. And people would come and they would say, well, it's Freddie Mac. It's a federal organization. They can't be tricking us. They can't be cheating us. Whereas the director at Freddie Mac was saying, it's a buyer beware market. They set up these gray areas. And so what they would do is they would package these property sales and put them on the courthouse steps. And you would buy these packages of investments and find out that all those properties had been falsely inflated. And then this led to a full meltdown of the real estate. And not only that, but Countrywide, which had a horrible reputation, was purchased by Bank of America. And in the process of that 08 crisis, Bank of America gobbled up, I think, 20 million properties that they falsely gave loans to people who couldn't pay. And you know about that whole.
I'm sure there are people in my audience that were affected by that. They may have lost properties. They may have gotten one of those free loans, basically, where, all of the due diligence in determining whether or not somebody could afford it, none of that was done. I didn't know that, Carrie, that you were right there in the front lines. You saw evidence of this wrongdoing with your own eyes.
Yes, I did. From the inside, as I was doing. And so I saw this statement from Freddie Mac that suddenly their profits increased by 400 million, and we looked at it, and the operations officer and other people looked at it, and something doesn't feel right here. Well, needless to say, Freddie Mac, their accounting was done by Arthur Andersen, and Arthur Andersen was one of the big five accounting firms, and they handled numerous corporations. And so I started noticing a pattern. The pattern that I noticed was that Arthur Andersen, Freddie Mac, and a whole slew of corporations started using, in a pattern of fraud and deception, repeated figures of 400 million and 1.7 billion. Why they arrived at those two figures is almost immaterial, because if we were to convene a federal grand jury, so much as consisting of high school students, they would see that racketeering is taking place. It's obvious collusion. So I think if we dive into, you know, what I discovered with this pattern of fraud and deception of these repeated statements of 400 million and 1.7 billion appearing in the headline news, it was for the purpose of basically stealing money from the taxpayer. So in that beginning, when I discovered this RICO case, I talked to a constitutional law expert in Malibu who helped me articulate exactly what part of the RICO statute was being violated. And when my attorneys in Beverly Hills filed my evidence with four U.S. attorneys, the head of the criminal division of the IRS, the SEC, and the DOJ, every one of those heads of all those divisions all quit their jobs.
Wow. Let's just hang out there for a second. That is powerful. What year are we talking about, Kerry?
Okay, so this filing, and you know, I know everybody brushes me off, but because of how much time has gone by, but if that happened in 2005, if they would have acted on the 2005 evidence, the 08 crisis would not have taken place. Okay.
Wow.
So there's huge liability in failure of enforcement. There's huge liability. But I wanted to walk away from the whole case because my energy was being vipered by focusing on these people who were committing these, you know, violating the law. So it became like I didn't feel right about focusing on all this corruption. So I decided to walk away from the case. Then in 2014, I was hired by the gentleman who owns the patent that created iTunes. And he won a case in federal court in Dallas in 2010 against Amazon, Facebook, iTunes, every Walmart, every company that was selling music online. He owned that patent and he won in federal court in 2010. Then he hired me in 2014 to do research into the psychology of social currency, which is pivotal to the traction of social media and what's happening in social media and the impact of social media on people's lives, leading to lack of engagement. Anyway, that's a different thing. But the fact of the matter is while I was working for this gentleman, I started noticing the $1.7 billion and the $400 million headlines starting to occur on a weekly basis. And he said, will you please email those to me? And I said, yes, I most definitely will. So I emailed him over 50 headline news articles happening on a weekly basis, 400 million, 1.7 billion, 400 million, 1.7 billion. And then in August of 2017, an army of FBI agents raided our offices with 20 people in there, and they threw him in jail without a trial instantly. And I was left, you know, suddenly I was, you know, not a part of that company anymore. They banished the company. And everyone was asking, is the FBI a weaponized, you know, entity that's coming to shut him up? And anyway, there was that question. We're literally left in a gray area. The guy's thrown in jail. So that case is still continuing, but I have emailed the judge, I have emailed the U.S. attorneys, the assistant U.S. attorneys with all my evidence, and I said I emailed him over 50 examples of this case, and I want to know if the FBI is acting on behalf of either Apple or Walmart or Amazon or one of those big people who he won the lawsuit against.
So that's what they do, is they delay and they don't respond, and especially when the law is clear. Wow, that is really something. And you've also sent your concerns to Bobby Kennedy. So do you want to talk sure about did. That? Because, you know, he says that he wants to dismantle this corporate takeover of our government. You've seen my videos, Carrie. You know that I have a lot of questions for Kennedy. And I also just want to hand it to you that, you know, like we're able to have these conversations and dig deeper together. You made a really good statement. You said, I am encouraging Bobby to step up to the plate, to cut the rhetoric, and to actually take action even before the election. And I admire that because I think for people who are really enthralled by this potential alliance, and I say potential because, you know, Trump, he's got a big personality. And so we don't know what's going to happen with RFK Jr. He certainly has gotten the conversation going. And it also almost seems like oil and water with Trump and Kennedy, but it definitely stirs these conversations. And like you, I'm not out to get anybody. I'm out to get the truth. And anyone who wants to support this potential alliance needs to be asking questions. And that's exactly what you did. So tell us about this email exchange that you've had with Bobby Kennedy about, you know, he obviously has been telling us that he wants to clean up these agencies and clear the swamp. Like, can we trust that? So let's get back to your emails and what
okay.
went
so,
on.
So basically, I've had the great fortune of meeting Bobby in person, you know, in Malibu, and talked to him on the beach, and, you know, and we were discussing things, and this was before he was ever willing to even hint at running for president, which is, and I love his expertise, his medical expertise, hands down, trumps every other politician in the world. I mean, when he starts talking medical, you know, then he's really, really adept. And it's because his own voice was caused by a vaccine. So that's, a lot of people don't know that. And it's quite a challenge. And anyway, so you can imagine his motive to do something about this. So I asked Kennedy, I said, it was really, really amazing because I'm standing there on the beach and I'm looking into his eyes, and I to go down that road of actually causing justice is a whole nother animal. And so I can see his apprehension to follow the RICO case, but maybe I could share with you the emails and then we could discuss those while we're doing that. Is that a good idea?
That's great.
Okay. So anyway, backing up just a second, we're talking about Robert Blakey, who drafted the RICO statute, the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organization Act. And he did it under President Nixon. RICO was passed in 1970 as a part of a larger effort to fight organized crime and help victims recover. I just want to bring to your attention that the way the corporate and government directorates are interacting is indeed organized crime. Okay. So anyway, so RICO makes it illegal for anyone associated with an enterprise that affects interstate or foreign commerce to participate in its affairs through racketeering activity or unlawful debt collection. Okay. So that's pretty obvious that people have been, you know, basically forced to or affect interstate or foreign commerce to participate in its affairs. And I say this because many other corporations, especially in Russia, which Donald Trump has a history of doing business with these people, have participated in this RICO scheme. But this is a very simple kind of like no-brainer situation where, as I said, if we convened a federal grand jury of high school students, they would say that laws are being broken and collusion is happening. So anyway, here's the first screen that I'd like to share. I extensively reported on a RICO scheme of false claims of fines and transactions valued at $400 million to $1.7 billion, and emailed 120 of those headline news reports to Kennedy. He referred to the $400 million settlement paid by GlaxoSmithKline in 2021. This fine was related to allegations of failing to report safety data and making false claims about the asthma drug Advair and other medications. After he received my RICO evidence, he specifically said in an email to me, "I'm not saying a crime has not been committed." Then later this happened. He tells the audience of Moderna's $400 million payment to the NIH. He called them out for making a $400 million payment to the NIH because the NIH gave Moderna the license to sell the COVID vaccine. So the big question is, how can Kennedy not recognize this as part of the big RICO scheme when I sent him 60 examples of the 400 million and the 1.7 billion figures showing up as claimed transactions? So here's an email from me to Bobby. I said, "You witnessed the RICO scheme in action, Moderna paying 400 million 2 weeks ago. When I heard your declaration that you're going to dismantle the corporate takeover of our government, what greater, more powerful, and practical evidence do you need to demonstrate that this takeover has happened than with my RICO evidence in connection with COVID? Should I call a mutual friend of ours, I blacked out his name, and ask him to invest in a litigation to explode this evidence into the public eye and help you get into the White House?"
When did you send this one to him? This is recent.
This was in this, I believe was in 2022.
Okay. Yeah.
It might've been in 2023, but I blacked out his address and so forth.
Yeah. Well, the first one was 2022. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the key phrase of my whole case here is that as per Title 18, Section 1963, subsection D, paragraph 3, evidence and information that would be inadmissible under federal rules of evidence. Note, Carrie O'Neill's evidence may all in fact be admissible under the federal rules of evidence and does specifically frame a pattern of racketeering activity. See section 1962, subsection B. Okay, this is as specific and direct as we can get. Will you do a brief Zoom session to briefly discuss my evidence that now includes Sempra? They interrogated me about my health and whether I was vaccinated or not under the unlawful premise that they were trying to ascertain whether their workers would be at risk by coming to my home. Sempra violations as unlawfully sanctioned by the CPUC, Title 18 U.S. Code 1320D, 6, Section A, Offense 2, obtains individually identified health information relating to an individual. 3, discloses individually identified health information to another person, shall be punished as provided in subsection B. So what they're doing here is they were cornering me and asking me if I was vaccinated, whether they would send somebody out to handle a leaking water heater, which could blow up the house, you know, leaking gas and so forth.
Yeah.
And so here's a law that says they're not allowed to do that.
Amazing.
Right? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Okay. And I've heard stories like this where companies were asking about this, and you actually are showing us the law that they're violating.
Yes. So I know I said I wouldn't, I told Bobby, I said, "I know I said I wouldn't bring up this case, but that was before your announcement about the dismantling." So when he said he was going to dismantle the corporate takeover of our government, that's when I felt it was appropriate to send this to him. So I said, "It's either now or never to hold these public serpents, Department of Justice, Security and Exchange, Internal Revenue, accountable, and we need you in the White House to do it." Okay, now the only reason why I am approaching Bobby about this is because no other politician is even approachable with this kind of information and evidence. So here's what happened. On December 2nd, 2022, I sent another email to Bobby. I did a couple of Zooms with Mary Holland, who, Peggy, I'm sure you know who she is, was mm-hmm. chief counsel of the Children's Health Defense.
Right.
And I gave her a copy of my book, COVID-19 Racketeering, but I have not heard back. In the meantime, I have not heard of any legal action against the public serpents Fauci et al. From you or your team. So I'm just wondering, why would he publish a book? Why would he do all this research and not file an action? I don't know if you probably have more information than I do on that, but I'm just curious why. So as I said to Bobby, as I shared with you previously, my evidence does constitute RICO evidence and does indeed meet federal requirements as evidence. Will you do a brief interview with me to discuss our DOJ meeting, missing in action, committing official misprision of felony crimes? Bobby said, see at the bottom, another big question. Kennedy stated in his speech in front of the whole world that he's joining Trump, that he'll do an interview with anyone who asks. So he never did an interview with me about this. So do you recommend that? I do. I think he should do an interview.
I think this is huge because these are questions that we need to ask and need to be answered.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So number three, Bobby emails me back and says, we've been looking at RICO angles for several years with the country's leading RICO attorneys. There's many problems, beginning with the current hostility among the courts to RICO cases. So look what I responded. Thank you for responding. Based on my evidence shared here below, would you consider filing a quitom case with me? That's called a False Claims Act. Senator Grassley articulates, pursuant to the False Claims Act, anyone who reports fraud, quote unquote, is entitled up to 30% rewards payments of the fines that are required by law to be imposed. Can you tell me one American ever in history ever being paid 30% of rewards payments? Okay. I filed over 100 Form 211s with the IRS based on my evidence, and claims of rewards payments through my attorneys with the IRS, SEC, DOJ, and four U.S. attorneys in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and Alexandria, Virginia, result each head of the criminal divisions all left their positions in the typical musical chairs to avoid responsibility. Wow. Perhaps, couldn't that be an entire premise for action as well? At the very minimum, a giant discussion point for your ongoing documentaries? This was before Kennedy announced he was running for president. You say current hostility among the courts to RICO cases. Among the courts? Are the courts representing the people? Either RICO is a law or it isn't. Your statement makes it sound as though the court system itself is the entity committing the crime of failure to act, to enforce RICO as well as the reason not to take action. You say, what predicate act are you alleging? The lawful precedent and code as per Title 18, Section 1963, and I've already read this to your audience, right? That my evidence is admissible in a federal court to demonstrate a pattern of racketeering activity. Per federal rules of evidence, here are some exhibits of the RICO scheme. Okay, I emailed Bobby all 60, over 60 claims of headline news showing the $400 million and $1.7 billion figures. Guess what the first one is here? Expanded biodefense role for the National Institutes of Health.
Wow.
This is all the way back in 2000. Can you imagine the National Institutes of Health getting $1.7 billion for bioterrorism? Since when is the National Institute of Health engaged in bioterrorism?
Stunning.
So I said to him, big pharma pattern of racketeering activity. These are only two exhibits. There's another, 60 or 70 to follow. But the first one says, AstraZeneca receives $1.7 billion contract for 85 million doses of vaccine. AstraZeneca vaccine kills a trial patient in Venezuela.
Wow.
So then here's the last email. Bobby's response. This is the key pivotal point where we can truly ask him to please act on his word and please get up to the plate and take action. I said, are you saying more than 60 headline news financial claims of $400 million and $1.7 billion in direct connection with COVID are nothing? Are they a coincidence? No case? He said there's no case. Expert mathematician Dr. Kevin Iga of Pepperdine University says the possibility of 40 statements of $400 million losses, these are corporate losses, 40 statements within a two-year period of being a coincidence is hideously less than one out of a trillion. So those odds indicate human conspiracy.
Right.
It's in your face. It's like, anyway, so I said, Bobby says to me, I'm not saying it's not a crime. I'm saying it's not redressable under the False Claims Act. You know, so the obvious question is, then how is it redressable?
Right.
Right.
If it's a crime, then there is a violation.
It's clear racketeering for the whole world to see. And so I wanted to put the title of the YouTube videos showing the RICO case. The title of the first one is Numerous COVID-19 Related Claims of $400 million, $1.7 billion. And the second video is $1.7 billion, $400 million statements. Okay, so that kind of covers Bobby's position, right? So do you feel that he's interested in enforcing the RICO statute? Do you feel that he identifies the RICO statute as the law that's being broken with this massive, corruption case?
Yeah. What do you make of his reluctance?
Well, I want to respect the forces at play. I don't know, I don't mean to use street level language, but I don't know if somebody's pointing a gun at his head. I don't know what forces are against him to, after seeing what his family went through, I don't know. But I can say that for him to single-handedly stand up and do it, maybe he does need Trump. So I think we should encourage Trump and Bobby to just say, look at these transactions. Look at the racketeering that took place on behalf of this pandemic. I mean, that's the best I have. I have this evidence. It's ballistic. It's like over the top. Are they going to act on it? And if they're not, then nobody's ever going to act on it. And we'll never have any trust in our government. So I hear what you're saying about, you don't want too big of a government, but if the corporate entities have taken over our government so that you just pay them the token 10%. You can steal all the money you want as long as you pay them the token 10% and then everybody's happy, right? If that's what's been going on as far as I can see.
Well, there are so many people that are encouraged by this alliance, and there are people that love Trump in terms of his very large personality, and he calls it like he sees it. And then there are others that are completely turned off by him. And it's the same with Bobby Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Many people find him to be a very likable fellow. And he has done so much in terms of raising awareness of these harms for these, pharmaceutical companies. And you know that my issue is with his pushing for increased testing. And, he is basically, comes from a Democrat background. And so they look to government for the answer. And bringing Trump, who is more, we're told, conservative minded, and Kennedy, who is more liberal, a lot of people see that as just, a very compelling match. And, you and I have both said, time will tell. What I really like, Carrie, is that you have done your research. You mm-hmm. have culled through these headlines. You have come up with so much compelling evidence. And I want to kind of look at a bigger picture here. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is important on so many levels. Number one, you're taking action. You're educating yourself. You are reaching out to people. Not everybody has Bobby Kennedy's private email address, but there are plenty of places where people can make these comments online and social media and, reach out to his campaign and so forth. But the bigger picture is you're doing something. You're not just complaining. And even though you're hitting some of these brick walls here and there, I want everybody to be encouraged by the fact that you believe and are fighting for retribution and justice, as am I.
So, you know, I like to focus on solution. I would love to share one thing that I had a public access television show where I was revealing all this evidence. And I was in New York, Colorado, Los Angeles, and Thousand Oaks. I was reaching 5 million people a week. And I sent a report to the Colorado station, and they came back to me and they said, "We love your evidence, but," they said, "we have a policy. We will only broadcast things that come with a proposed solution." And that shifted my whole life, because I don't like feeling negative. I don't like feeling that people are out to, you know, game or even murder people and so on and so forth. But if you come with a solution, that's the purpose of all this interaction in the first place. So I do have a solution. I purchased the URL UnitedStatesBlockchain.org. If we have these issues, for example, if you're not happy with the court systems, municipal, state, or federal, if you're not happy with our court systems, would you like it to transform to, you know, X, Y, and Z? We have a vote on the UnitedStatesBlockchain.org. That cannot be altered. You cannot mess with those statistics. That's a possible solution to get public consensus. So I want to maintain a friendly relationship with Bobby, because he is very near and dear to this effort to help people go through a psychic shift, a transformation in their lives where they're no longer dogged and beat up by compulsive behaviors and so on, which he has a very strong history in doing that. So hopefully we can focus on solution, right?
So you mentioned the phrases many times, Carrie, fraud and deception, and that really is what you're fighting against. I think those two words are so powerful. The fraud, of course, is the willful misrepresentation of facts for gain. And we've seen that since, you know, the beginning of 2020, and long before that. You saw it when you were working in the financial institution. And then deception is also, it's almost like it's not blatant lying, because then everybody could see it. The deception is where there are 99 truths and then they slip in the lie so that you don't notice it. So I'm so grateful that you've been fighting this battle against fraud and deception. That's really what we do here at the Healthy American as well. And it's not always easy for people to be confronted with that. And I understand that. So many people are looking for a hero. They want that knight in shining armor to ride in on the horse and to fix everything. And I actually think, I look at that kind of kindly, because it means that many people, they want to see good things happen to this country. They want a leader to turn things around. And I love that optimism. I celebrate and applaud that optimistic, possibility for the future. I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. All I want is to actually have these politicians step up to the plate, to own what they're doing, to answer our questions when we have these concerns as to why are you ignoring this? And many people are saying, why didn't Trump throw Hillary into jail when he had a chance? These are legitimate questions. And as you stated, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and maybe there are bigger reasons, and maybe they're not able to do that for one reason or another. The point I want to leave on is we need to keep these questions going. We need to keep these conversations going. And I'd like to give you the last word here. You really gave some powerful information there to wrap up. But anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
It would be fantastic if we actually saw some enforcement of the actual laws that are on the books. It would be fantastic if the United States Constitution was upheld.
When you opened my eyes to this racketeering, I was like, wow, this is another, there are so many laws that have been violated over these years, but this one is in black and white. You have this evidence, and I do appreciate that you have been persevering in this battle, and you have been speaking to attorneys about bringing these cases, and it would be fantastic if Kennedy was able to see this through. I think we're gaining steam in terms of exposing all of the wrongdoing of these big pharma companies. Yeah. People, by and large, even those that went along with these recommended protocols, they don't want to see the corruption either. I think it rubs them the wrong way to think that the government and all of our tax money went to line the pockets of these people. So
yeah, I just want to share.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's very important for me to share that you are an exceptionally powerful being who has manifested unspeakable clarity during a time of absolute trickery and deceit. You have been a shining light, and I'm just flabbergasted that you're the only person that I know of in the whole United States that has towed the line to talking about the laws on the books, the difference between mandates, you know, and forcing people to do things. You're a shining beacon that, I mean, you're an example for the whole world and in such radiant light. And I deeply, deeply appreciate your passion to stand up and communicate to people like that. It's been extremely helpful. You even changed the whole airline industry, helping pilots see that this was not legal. It was not lawful. And so I there's endless thanks to you. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Carrie. I can only do it by the grace of God. I just am like, I'm a person that wants to persevere, and I want to help the underdog. And all of us have become underdogs under the thumb of this tyranny and oppression. I, like you, am a person that wants to see justice served. We stand on the side of truth, and I will applaud any of these individuals that are able to push the ball forward. So let's get Kennedy to step up to the plate. You know, Trump is a little bit hard to read in terms of where he may, you know, what he may or may not do if he is in office. Many people have said to me, Peggy, you're always criticizing Kennedy. And it's like, you know, why are you going to vote for Kamala? I'm like, when have I ever said I'm going to vote for Kamala? Kamala, Kamala. I never said that. I will not vote for her. I thought it was apparent that, you know, with all the work that I've done, but I'll just put that on the record right there. And, you know, I did have an occasion to fly recently, and I was on American Airlines, and the flight attendant came up to me and she said, I know who you are. You helped me keep my job. And I said, oh, hallelujah. I said, I helped the pilot as well. So, you know, that is, it really is gratifying. And the other thing, Carrie, you know, these bad guys, the New World Disorder, as I call them, they wanted to wear us down. They wanted to separate us and isolate us. And look at this. We've become friends over the years, and think about all of the connections, just even online, the communities and the people that we meet. I feel that I have much more knowledge now than I did, you know, all those years ago. So their evil can only destroy, and we are here to create. I love that you said you're a person seeking solutions, and keep up the great work.
That's I just wanted to share one last thing that's vitally crucial.
Go ahead.
And I probably may have shared this with you, but my lifelong friend who I grew up with in the Malibu colony, Matt Rapp, I've known since I was 4 years old. He was 62 years old, perfectly healthy, a surfer, and was a next door neighbor of Bobby Kennedy. And he was telling everybody in Malibu that he'd got every vaccine known that you could get, every booster, everything. He went out to a paddle out on Zuma Beach, 62 years old, perfectly healthy, dropped dead of a heart attack. And I told Bobby, you know, that this happened. And Bobby said, indeed, that Matt was a good friend of his, a next door neighbor, and he's gone. I have a good friend who is gone. He's 62 years old. And everybody I talked to said, there's no way on earth that was an organic death. I'm just saying, I'm just letting you know. So anyway, I wanted to just...
Yeah, my condolences to you for the loss of your friend, Matt. And it is so tragic. More and more people are waking up, sadly, some of them a little bit too late. But this is the very compelling evidence that we have. And luckily, more and more people are waking up. And it's thanks to people like you and me, and even Bobby speaking out against these harms. So thank you so much, Carrie. Yeah, stick with me just a moment. Friends, you know where to find me. What I appreciate is your support. Share these videos, share this interview about Kerry and the information that he's brought forth with the RICO Act. And let's have Bobby step up to the plate. If he is going to be a prominent figure in an upcoming administration, let's make sure that he is representing our values and our concerns.
Thanks. And let's invite him. Yeah, let's invite him to do a Zoom with you and me, and we can discuss these things.
You've got the connections there. I don't know if he ever wants to come online with me. I've had plenty of questions for him. And, you know, I give him the questions in advance so he can answer them, when he desires. But they are legitimate questions. It's important that we keep digging. And let's have them all step up to the plate so that they can represent us fairly.